Before listening to the teachings, please give rise to the precious attitude of bodhicitta, which is that first we focus on our own father and mother in this lifetime, our own close friends and relations, and then extending the love we feel for them out to all sentient beings, including our enemies, we aspire to establish them all in the state of complete and perfect enlightenment. We know that in order to do this, we must listen to, reflect upon, and meditate upon the teachings of the genuine Dharma with all of the enthusiasm we can muster in our hearts. This is the precious attitude of bodhicitta. Please give rise to it and listen. Thinking like this is a method we can use to make our minds good, to make our minds noble and excellent. People who practice the Mahayana need to have the attitude that even if we have suffering, even if we can't live in an independent way, still we are going to establish every single sentient being in the state of enlightenment. That's how we have to think about it. Even if we don't have much ability to be of benefit to even a few sentient beings, still we have to have the conviction that we are going to attain enlightenment for the benefit of all. And that is an excellent mind. That is a very noble way to be. This is something that we develop and cultivate over many lifetimes. We train in developing the attitude, the mind frame of bodhicitta, and it increases and increases all the while. Our teacher, the completely perfect Buddha himself, accumulated merit for 3 × 10⁻⁹ eons before he attained enlightenment. And so in the Mahayana tradition, it's a very gradual process.
Tene sancho samba kake tami somla so saya kavache ya la tangche ya de tangche pa shumbacho shumbache pa so la tene dorje te palan joko sangje ya ke tapi shumbare.
Sanje ki tegyum
tene tene. Nere
re. Some bodhisattvas got discouraged at the thought of having to accumulate merit for 3 × 10⁻⁹ eons. So the Buddha taught the Vajrayana as a more rapid means of attaining enlightenment.
Tene dorje thepe lola joko che che la so bala sang je na yang tarong simchin ji ton da tene che ba lang go yere ka wachi.
Nevertheless, the Vajrayana teaches a very speedy means to attain enlightenment, but nevertheless, after that, one still, out of the desire to benefit others, takes birth and endures difficulty for the benefit of other sentient beings. So it comes down to the same. There's no escape. Today, Rinpoche will explain to us a bit from the 5th chapter on the benefits of the Buddha nature. In the root text, you'll find it on page 73. Everybody see where we are?
Sanje Kantang, Sanje Sanchotang, Sanje Chuta, Sanje Tinete, Tapisim Chinchijan, Samsami. Then in Dremba Namji Choyuri, he saw something.
Buddha element, Buddha awakening, Buddha qualities, and Buddha activity cannot be thought, not even by purified beings. They are the field of experience of their guides.
Sanje je sanchok tang, sanje je chute yun ten tang, sanje je tene te da nam, je taba yendo sonro tam so su je vi lobyong zo vare ma to, thar tokpa ngon som to tene, takpa sim chin je chan samsame, takpa sim chin te, satok je sanpa nam je chan je taba yendo sam toko ma re song pare, de kapsa sam je ma chapa ten pare.
The Buddha element, or the enlightened essence, the enlightenment or awakening itself of the Buddha. The Buddha's qualities and the Buddha's enlightened activity cannot be conceived of by ordinary beings. Ordinary beings can read about it, they can think about it, but they cannot experience it just how it is, because it is beyond thought. Even the bodhisattvas, the noble bodhisattvas on the bhumis, can't experience it.
Kam sanje machapa junzen karare se na khan dekhe nyingpo te ngoyi, trupa, trawa, yeni, nambar, takpa, yenpa la yang lovar je trama yoyapa songpa re te nye te sanje machapa re sosu che woke samwomba kapsan garwa na yintong kare ngoyi le yeni trama mayapa yenpa la teni lovar je trama yoyapa te sosu che vi che na garwa tartan tongwa se na teni sanje machapa re.
The Buddha element is inconceivable because what this means is that the very nature of every single sentient being transcends all conceptual fabrications about what it might be. It is of the nature of original purity, primordial purity. But there are the adventitious stains which obscure it from our view. And this seems to be a paradox to ordinary beings. When ordinary beings think about that, it seems to be a contradiction. And that's why its nature is inconceivable.
Te jumsen de mangarba jumsen kararasa na namkha tenje drapa cho nyokwa seti yanda ure rangin la nelo la trama mepa de namkha tang setang cho rangka rangyin la trama mepa re. Tene trama yapa te namkha tenje drapa cho nyokwa seti yana ye. Tisena tene lekpar tiyana mangarba re.
The reason why, in fact, there's no contradiction can be understood if we consider the examples of clouds obscuring the sky, of gold that is hidden in gold ore. Namka chingi drapa, ser yagi drapa.
Chonyoba.
And mud that is making the water dirty. So there's nothing wrong with the sky. The sky is essentially pure even when clouds obscure it from our view. There's no contradiction in both of those being there at the same time. There's no contradiction in having completely pure gold stuck in some more impure substance. There's no contradiction in the fact that you can have completely pure water that's got some mud stirred around in it. It doesn't affect the essential nature of the water. And by understanding these examples, then, we can see that there's no contradiction about the Buddha nature being obscured by stains, which are not of its own stuff, of its own substance.
This is a bit digging the same general way, the Kinyi Buranga, Mola Tama, Minaya, Namka, Tangi Taba Yendo, Tinny Lord Tama, Yoba, Mangarabasa.
And therefore, the true nature of mind can be in essence completely pure and free of stain. At the same time, it is obscured by temporary stains, just like the sky can be pure, but temporarily obscured by clouds.
Tene sanje sancho da se sancho te sanje machapati ne lo yene tapata lower the young tramas Dramasar the Tapa Tapa Toba Toya Yova Te Young Garvan Ravotomoy. Yeni Trama Mabata, Lower Trama Tate, Sangsar the Jaya Yobate, Sanchoya Yobate, Garvan Ravo Society in Tomori. Nelo Lamangavare Nelo Lamangavate, Namka Tainle Torva, Namka Yeni Tatana Yang Tainle Torva Yore. Chui.
Buddha awakening, the enlightenment of the Buddha, seems to be a contradiction, a paradox to ordinary beings because sentient beings' nature is explained to be originally pure. It's pure from the beginning. There was never a time when it wasn't pure, and nevertheless, there is this appearance of the Buddha becoming enlightened, becoming pure, where he wasn't as pure before he became enlightened as he was when he attained that enlightenment. So what's that all about? Somebody might think that that seems to be a contradiction. But it's no contradiction when, again, we can see it's not a contradiction when we consider the example of the sky becoming freed of clouds, or the water becoming purified of the mud, or refining the gold from the metal, the gold ore that it's stuck in. And in this way, we can see that the essence stays completely pure. At the same time, the adventitious stains are cleared away, and when that happens, then the pure essence manifests.
Dordona rangi namdaka sanje tang lobo tadraja sanje mangarvare.
In short, the Buddha of natural purity and the Buddha that is freed from adventitious stains, these two are not contradictory.
Tena sosu chevu garba tartun tongshin tongda mangarba se na sanji mithyapa. Sanji che sanchok sanji mithyapa.
And since these two appear to be contradictory to ordinary beings, even though in reality they are not, that is why this point is called inconceivable.
Sanje chudang hibate de sanje chude yuentin re yang yuentin sanje machabare karre sena ye tot de yuentin lunje troba yen lunrob je yuentin lunje troba yemba la yemba tang yang yuentin sadu to bi keba che re ti nye de so si che bun garban tong go yare lekwar che na tene yang mangarba
The third inconceivable point is the point of the Buddha's qualities. And the reason why this is inconceivable is that on the one hand, the qualities are explained to be naturally present, inherent. And at the same time, there is an explanation of the Buddha growing in qualities, as He progresses on the path and then attains enlightenment, where he attains the immeasurable qualities. So these two points seem to be contradictory. How could the qualities be natural present at the same time you talk about getting growing and growing in one's qualities? Well, the way that we can understand how this works, so that we understand that it's really not a contradiction, is to think about the example of taking pure gold, which by itself is pure, but then if you make beautiful jewelry out of it, then the value of what you have has increased. Because you've taken it and you've made these beautiful ornaments and jewelry. And similarly, you take the Buddha nature, which is in itself like the pure gold, and by accumulating the two accumulations of merit and wisdom, you refine it and make these beautiful ornaments and jewelry out of it, and then it seems like the qualities of it have increased. But the gold is really the same. The substance that it's made of is the same, it's just that you've made this beautiful form out of it. So first you can take this lump of pure gold and make some beautiful earrings out of it and crown like a tiara out of it and all of these nice things, and you've increased the value of it. But then you might think, well, these are nice, but wouldn't it be better if I made a gold Buddha statue? Because these ornaments really don't benefit so much. So then you make out of the same gold a Buddha statue and you put it on the shrine, and then it becomes an object of veneration and of offerings, and you've made the greatest thing out of it of all. So in this way, the value of what you have has increased, even as the substance it's made out of has stayed the same. In this way, the spontaneous presence, the natural or inherent presence of the qualities, and the fact that the qualities can increase, we can understand are not contradictory.
Garvan Dravan Thongare, Tondan Garvan Mabare, Sanje ji zeba te Sanju simpa kap je mulan tang Durze teba ta tanan la ten na tene Tanda nam to me ji don do don zeba ya gore Ten tene je lewe le pe mambu goni ten pare
The next inconceivable point is the activity of the Buddha. And the activity of the Buddha is inconceivable, appears to be contradictory to ordinary beings, because on the one hand, the Buddha's mind is explained to be completely free of conceptual activity. But on the other hand, the Buddha performs limitless benefit for sentient beings. And that's something we can't conceive of because if we do anything, we have to think about it. It's impossible for us to do anything without thinking about it. So how can the Buddha be of limitless benefit to sentient beings and not have a single thought? That seems to be a paradox. But in fact, it's not. Migalwa Gyumsen Karasena Munlam Tang. In fact, it's not a paradox because the Buddha has made an incredible number of aspiration prayers up until the point of attaining enlightenment to be of benefit to others. And as a result of that and the pure vision of his disciples, then the Buddha can appear and be of benefit. And there are also many examples given in the text of non-conceptual forms of benefiting others. How something could be without concept and still be of benefit. For example, the sun doesn't think to itself, now I'm going to be of benefit to all the beings on the planet. But nevertheless, its warmth and light is essential to our survival and is of great benefit to every being on this planet. And similarly, a cloud of rain doesn't think, well, now I'm going to rain on these people, on these flowers, and be of benefit to them. But it does, and it is of great benefit. So this is something that we have to try to understand through these examples. These examples are all explained in the chapter called the Chapter on Buddha Activity. And if we have some doubts about the Buddha's deeds, if we have some doubts about whether, if we don't believe there's any such thing in enlightened activity, then we should read this chapter and we'll understand it. If Buddha activity was something easy to understand, we wouldn't need all of these examples trying to describe it for us. Since it is something so profound that it's in fact inconceivable, then we need all of these examples to help us try to understand what it's about. Its profundity and inconceivability is such that even those Dharma practitioners who have studied a lot and done a lot of practice still sometimes have doubts about it. They still think they don't really understand it, which proves it's inconceivable.
Thakpa Sanjin Ji Jang Samsami Tsikamba Yabala. Thakpa Sanjin Satup Ji Samba Nam Ji Jang Jetava Yindon Thartukpa Samsami Yisumbara.
It can't even be conceived of a purified being. This is the end of the third line.
Then the Dremba Namji Choyuri. Then the Dremba Zogba Sanje Namji Choyuri. Sanje Namji Chetawa Yendongo and some disagree.
They are the field of experience of their guides. Here, guides refers to the Buddhas themselves. The Buddhas are the only ones who can really experience these things directly.
Lodin Jarvi Yorte Lameba Sanje Yuntin Toja no Jorte Sami Yuntin Tola Ngungawa Simjin Kunji Sunam Sejano. Te gava chepa tsangje simchen kunje suenam seje no. Simchen namje suenam je tso ja chenpo kate je sakpa tamje le suenam chegre suenam simchen je suenam tamje seje nengre. Ti ye chepa tsangje suenam re. Sangje machapa ne la mepa tsangje tene simchen kunje suenam seje no to.
Those of insight who have devotion to this Buddha domain will become vessels for the multitude of all Buddha's qualities, while those truly delighting in these inconceivable properties will exceed in merit the good actions of all sentient beings. This verse explains that the ones who have intelligence, who have some interest in this sphere of experience of the Buddhas, in the attaining the enlightenment of the Buddhas, become the suitable vessel for holding the inconceivable collection of the Buddha's qualities. And by delighting in this interest in attaining enlightenment, they surpass the merit accumulated by all sentient beings combined. So merely to have an interest in attaining the state of enlightenment is better than anything that all the rest of sentient beings in the world can accomplish in terms of mundane, a virtuous activity.
Kangyik sanchok tondo nyerwe, sikyik nuwu treba ni, sanjei kingdor nyamba nini chuja nangla tambo la. Yin kang dele tiksan tuken, tuni jangna munande, jimba lezong, geba tele suna chi man toba nyorki saba songke. Kansa kangye, sanchok tondo nyerwe, Zofa Sanje Jacoban Tonda near the Kinkam Zude, Sergings, Selese, Kinkam Nova not so by Jinja, Tebam, Nova not so by Jimba Sanj Tene Manyung Yang, Sanje Jankanje, Dorta Nyamba Nyama Riri Gendo, Chuchi Jabu Zofa Sanje Nama, Tuta do Pona. ते चतांग जितने जे खाने स्वयंम तेले चेस यो मारे ये ना यंग मैं येंदा जगे सांचो संभव येंदा जगे ये कांगन दे ठीक बात चिंपु जोई लामा दे देले देवारी की कोई निंबु ठीक सम तुझें जोई लामा देने ठीक सम की तूने ठीक सम तुझें से जो तो दोन हाँ मगो ना यंग ठीक सम तूने तूने जाने मुना दे Tupa la tin de tela mupa dan gawa jina Jinpa le zong gawa tele suna jimang tupa sa Jinpa le zong wa Serji kyanka no utrepa nima riri gindo sanje le purwa Sunam shepa tele jang Jinpa le zong we geba nguma keba tele suena chi mawa chi cho tu choba togre de jimba le suwe suena mle chi cheba dan papa tuba tsambi penyo re ya
dekson
la tu di che dekson
la jorson la son The next verse continues to explain the benefits of even hearing the teachings about the Buddha nature. Someone striving for enlightenment may turn to the Dharma kings, offering golden fields adorned with gems of equal number to the atoms in the Buddha fields, and may continue doing so every day. Another may just hear a word of this, and upon hearing it, become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtues sprung from this practice of giving. And Rinpoche comments on the verse in the following way. Out of aspiring to attain enlightenment, the perfect enlightenment of the Buddhas, one may adorn a golden field with gems. So first you lay out all of this gold in this field, and then you add all different kinds of gems to make it even more special. And if you ask how many of these you offer, well, you offer as many as there are particles in all of the infinite number of Buddha realms. And you do it every day. And even if someone does that, offering it to the Buddha, the Dharma king, still, if another bodhisattva even hears one word of these teachings from the treatise on Buddha nature, and hears one word means they don't even have to understand it, just to hear it and to like it, to develop interest in it, results in an even greater accumulation than offering as many fields of gold and jewels as there are atoms in all of the Buddha realms to the Buddha every single day. So that is the extent of the merit one can accumulate by being interested in these teachings.
Yeah.
So we should recite this verse together 3 times. We have to be well aware of the benefits of studying these teachings.
Yeah.
Someone striving for enlightenment may turn to the Dharma kings, offering golden fields adorned with gems of equal number to the atoms in the Buddha fields, and may continue doing so every day. Another may just hear a word of this, and upon hearing it, become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtues sprung from this practice of giving. Someone striving for enlightenment may turn to the Dharma kings, offering golden fields adorned with gems of equal number to the atoms in the Buddha fields, and may continue doing so every day. Another may just hear a word of this, and upon hearing it, become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtues sprung from this practice of giving. Someone striving for enlightenment may turn to the Dharma kings, offering golden fields adorned with gems of equal number to the atoms in the Buddha fields, and may continue doing so every day. Another may just hear a word of this, and upon hearing it, become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtues sprung from this practice of giving.
Yeah. The chudin sharen de theva zon sama do kangi ma do chudin de go sama de. Yela chudin se do. Ba
re.
Kangi khit de se.
La so.
Ta chutem le zon ge wa le che pat do ba pat ten ba ne. Kangi lami sanjo de pe karba tumari ya. Lunga ye jem bepa mebar, sutram to me song sila. Yin kang dele, tikan, tweaking, tuna jang and minande, sutram lays on geva tail, suna chiman tobarjo, tambote lota.
The next verse says, an intelligent person wishing for enlightenment may by body, speech, and mind guard a flawless moral conduct and do so effortlessly, even through many eons. Another may just hear a word of this, and upon hearing it, become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtue sprung from this discipline.
Tu jun tunga tsang mayin ba karpa tomar, karpa pa du mebar yang, lu tang nga ta yi ke mbeba mebar. Becur mukube tu du komde, lu nga yi ke mbeba mebar, becur mukube, chotem tima mebar sungar sila, chotem yang ta par sungar sila, chotem te karpa mangbo la sungar sila. Seba te, ta, karpa mangbo la yang tapa chutam sunga to suena chenpo re. Yina yang tele suena jui lama la chusam sena chikri. Yin kang dele, thikpa chenpo jui lama dele, don chetava ki na mato na yang chikzaan tui hen, tui na chang ne mubaam gawa chi na, chutam le sunga gewa tele suena chi mangdu topan joro. Te chutam le sunga gewa le chepan pakpare. Ya.
Some intelligent person who wants to attain the enlightenment of the Buddhas may for many eons, in an effortless way, guard flawless, perfect moral conduct with body, speech, and mind, and do so over the course of many eons. But nevertheless, the merit from listening to and reflecting upon the teachings of this pious teaching in the continuity of Mahayana instructions, the Gyulama, is greater. Because as it says, another who merely listens to one word of this treatise and is joyful, enthusiastic in doing so, develops interest in its meaning, will accumulate more merit than even that practice of perfect discipline that occurred over the course of many eons.
Deva Indusa. Oh, Deva Jamaso.
So let's recite this three times. An intelligent person wishing for enlightenment may by body, speech, and mind guard a flawless moral conduct and do so effortlessly, even through many eons. Another may just hear a word of this, and upon hearing it become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtues sprung from this discipline. An intelligent person wishing for enlightenment may by body, speech, and mind guard a flawless moral conduct and do so effortlessly even through many eons. Another may just hear a word of this and upon hearing it become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtues sprung from this discipline. An intelligent person wishing for enlightenment may by body, speech, and mind guard a flawless moral conduct so effortlessly, even through many eons. Another may just hear a word of this, and upon hearing it, become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtues sprung from that discipline.
Tene kanja kanje, jeva ngama chutem sunga la kombat tobje, tende chutem sunga la gaboye batang, tende tam mayimba, tene karpa mangbo la chutem sunga la doyaba, Namji, someone about the Sona Chimbore, Tele Lakusona Tobandona, then take what Chimbu Jilamala to San Gombazoko.
So, someone may really like to conduct themselves ethically morally and properly. They may like to do so in this lifetime and develop an interest that lasts for many lifetimes. And as a result of it doing so, they will accumulate great merit. But if we want to accumulate even more merit than that, then we should study and reflect upon the teachings of the treatise on Buddha nature.
Kangik dana sipa somje nyumong menje samdine la dang thane tharson jokpas sanjong phomi thapgomba gen kang dele tsiksan tune tune jang na munande samdine le zong geba tele sona chiman thobanjo ya.
Someone here may finally achieve the divine meditative stabilities and Brahma's abode, thus quenching all affliction's fire within the three realms of existence, and may cultivate these as a means to reach unchanging and perfect enlightenment. Another may just hear a word of this, and upon hearing it become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtues sprung from that meditation.
Gomba lagava kange dana sipa somde kham somje nyumonge nyumomba meta vanje par se pe samti la dang sangben ne ba thar sen ba jogba san chok phowa me pe thap gon la Gombar se no, ten rava samten gomba te, sunan chenpo yina yang, tele chang sunam cheva te, yin kan ye ke, tekwa chenpo joy laman dele, chik sam shik tu ne, chang nan mu na, samten le sunwa geva tele, sunan chi mawa tupan jo. Te, penyon te kanka chikwa rava.
Another person may practice the meditative concentration that is so powerful it's like a fire consuming the mental afflictions of all three realms. And as a result of that, attain the state of a deity, become like a Brahma. And
Dela lai neba something ye sangbun neba la temi ye sigre.
Lasson.
Something ye dan te meba ye koma. Yeah.
Here, the state of the deity refers to the four levels of samten, of meditative concentration. And the state of Brahma refers to the perfect worldly cultivation of the four immeasurables. Love, compassion, and so forth.
Timmy, yeah. Yeah.
The four immeasurables. And even if somebody does that with the intent of attaining, using it as a method to attain the state of enlightenment that is perfect and unchanging, still, if someone else hears even one word of the Mahayana Uttara Tantra Shastra, the highest in the line of Mahayana teaching. Then, hearing that one word and liking it and wanting to hear more and study more creates even greater merit than all of the merit achieved by the other person's meditation. Please recite this three times. Someone here may finally achieve the divine meditative stabilities and Brahma's abode, thus quenching all affliction's fire within the three realms of existence, and may cultivate these as a means to reach unchanging and perfect enlightenment. Another may hear just a word of this, and upon hearing it, become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtues sprung from that meditation. Someone here may finally achieve the divine meditative stabilities and Brahma's abode, thus quenching all afflictions fire within the three realms of existence, and may cultivate these as a means to reach unchanging and perfect enlightenment. Another may just hear a word of this, and upon hearing it, become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtues sprung from that meditation. Someone here may finally achieve the divine meditative stabilities and Brahma's abode, thus quenching all afflictions fire within the three realms of existence, and may cultivate these as a means to reach unchanging and perfect enlightenment. Another may just hear a word of this, and upon hearing it, become filled with devotion. He will attain merits far greater and more manifold than the virtues sprung from this meditation.
Tati jumsing ke pare, tele jumsing gogondo. Jumsing ten rabo, jimba le songwa, chotem le songwa, gomba le songwa, sunam le chi, chin chot chupa tupi. Nata jumsing re. Cancer jimbe longjo tan and dropsy. Tremjin tori gombe nyamong pong sila. Hiram nyamong hisa kumbong tei sir. Dencho nye te tei jun and the tui. Tam jumsi kanga sir shena. Jimba tawa latine. Tender mule keba nangin. Jimba jachimbo tawa latine. Longjo tan and dropsy. Jeva sema la da mui lutopa kapsu longjo jachimbo tori. Longjo tan and dropper seche. Sutrem latine. Sutrem, Della to some senna, then Hirab dietabi, Hirab de Numo, but Draba, then his Draba Maluba, Kun Pongan Jura, Jumsin, T. Senna, Tikbachim with Jay Laman there, the Tuba, Tubany, the Dencho Nate, and the Tuba, Dencho to Jubany, the Jun and the Twin, the Tabu, Hirab de Numo, his Draba Tamje, Pongan Seba, Jote Tikbachim with Jay Laman, the two Gogundo. This is not too bad to check out the paper. Yeah.
So we've heard these statements that listening to one word of this text is a greater, more meritorious activity than all of this generosity and all of this moral conduct and all of this meditation. Why? Why is it? That question is answered in the next verse. It says, why is it so beneficial? Generosity only yields wealth. Discipline leads to the higher states of existence, and meditation removes affliction. But discriminative wisdom fully abandons all afflictions and hindrances to knowledge. It is therefore supreme, and its cause is studying these. So, by being generous, the result will be that in future lifetimes we will enjoy great wealth, material prosperity, abundance. By leading a life of moral conduct, then we will take birth in the higher states, either as a god or as a human being. Those are the results of those particular activities. And as a result of having a stable meditation, we will be able to eliminate the mental afflictions, but not the obscurations to omniscience, not the obscurations that block the immeasurable cognitive capacity of the Buddha mind. And the only thing that can do that is discriminative wisdom, prajna, precise knowledge. This fully abandons all afflictions and hindrances to knowledge. So it gets rid of both of the obscurations of the mental afflictions and the cognitive obscurations. And the cause of giving rise to this precise knowledge, this discriminative wisdom, is to listen to the first word that you hear of these teachings and then take it from there. So that's the reason.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah.
So now let's recite that three times. Why is it so beneficial? Generosity only yields wealth. Discipline leads to the higher states of existence, and meditation removes affliction. Discriminative wisdom fully abandons all afflictions and hindrances to knowledge. It is therefore supreme, and its cause is studying these. Mm. Why is it so beneficial? Generosity only yields wealth. Discipline leads to the higher states of existence, and meditation removes affliction. Discriminative wisdom fully abandons all afflictions and hindrances to knowledge. It is therefore supreme, and its cause is studying these. Why is it so beneficial? Generosity only yields wealth. Discipline leads to the higher states of existence, and meditation removes affliction. Discriminative wisdom fully abandons all afflictions and hindrances to knowledge. It is therefore supreme, and its cause is studying these. Therefore, it is very important to listen to and to reflect upon the teachings of the highest in the continuum of Mahayana instructions, the
truth of
Buddha nature. Now Rinpoche says that it wouldn't be of great benefit to go through every verse. He would rather like to explain the most important ones. So we will look at the second verse on page 75, which says, whatever ideates in terms of the three circles is viewed as the veil of the hindrances to knowledge. Whatever is the impulse of avarice and so on is to be regarded as the veil of the mental poisons.
Sena la so ben nam do kang yin ba te da ne nyu mo be te pa ndo wo se hidep da nyu de mu zo re de yang kar che bo re hidep da nyu de jo so la ma da ba yo ba re ju la ma lo lun de re
This verse is very important because it distinguishes between the two types of obscurations, or veils as it's translated here. The first is the obscuration of the mental afflictions, and the second is the obscuration to omniscience, the cognitive obscurations. The obscuration to omniscience is treated first, and it says that whatever ideates in terms of the three circles is viewed as the veil of the hindrances to knowledge. So what this means is that, for example, if you give something, and when you do that, you have a concept of first the person who's giving, and second the act of giving, and third the person to or being to whom you're giving whatever it is, If you have concepts of these three as being real, that is called conceptualizing the three spheres, or here ideating in terms of the three circles. So as long as we think those things are real, we have that obscuration to the cognizance of the Buddha. And another example Rinpoche gives is, like, if you think you're doing something good, if you're performing right conduct, and you think the person who's performing the conduct and the conduct they're performing and the ones in regard to whom they're performing the conduct are all real, then we have the ideas of the three spheres. And we have this obscuration obscuration to knowledge, to cognizance. And then the second obscuration is the obscuration of the mental afflictions. And here the one that is listed, named explicitly, is avarice, miserliness. But it also includes attachment, aversion, jealousy, pride, and so forth. All of the mental afflictions are summed up in that. So this verse is very important because there are different ways of presenting, of classifying what constitutes these two veils, these two obscurations. And this verse very clearly states the way in which they are classified in the treatise on Buddha nature. To make it easy to understand, if we think the appearances of this life are real, that's the obscuration, the cognitive obscuration, the obscuration to omniscience. The obscuration of the mental afflictions are easy to understand. They are all of the mental afflictions like attachment and anger and so forth. According to the Gelugpa tradition, according to the Gelugpa tradition, the way that the consequence school, the Prasangika, Madhyamika, classify the two obscurations is they say that clinging to things as being real is a very gross activity of the mind. That is the affliction of the, that is the obscuration of the mental afflictions. And perception of the attributes of things and dualistic perception is more subtle. These latter two constitute the cognitive obscurations. So we should know how they divide it. But the way that we do it in our own tradition, the tradition of the Gyulama, the text we're studying here, is not like that. So let's recite this verse three times. Whatever ideates in terms of the three circles is viewed as the veil of the hindrances to knowledge. Whatever is the impulse of avarice and so on is to be regarded as the veil of the mental poisons. Whatever ideates in terms of the three circles is viewed as the veil of the hindrance to knowledge. Whatever is the impulse of avarice and so on is to be regarded as the veil of the mental poisons. Whatever ideates in terms of the three circles is viewed as the veil of the hindrances to knowledge. Whatever is the impulse of avarice and so on is to be regarded as the veil of the mental
poisons. topsong kangi ten ten chu dan yen de kam som po ni ni kam som ko ni ni mo po zi song je we pin yon ten ban ze ba kang ten ne chang song song do ba ji de ka pi chang song de san ji de le do kwa de san ji song ma de song
de song
o ya ta ko so da ta ka dan ka yin chen ni dan ten ji ji chen ni ka chen bo re ti chi ge ji Dekai Give a pin on to a baron zeba gang, then a drum song song in dog bagging. Lord Gangye, don't joyza, don't dan them by chew down. Never in their hand. The can so can so me can they come some jay. Going in your mom by power save a song. They are round up the song by rank in the person by. Give a pin on to a baron zeba gang. Heba nyangil and deba tumba, heba pay on tumba and deba kang in bate, transong song is, transong zoba sanjiji song, re. Tele dogba yena sanjiji song, mate. Yeah.
Rangi nope songba.
Rantop jisongba. Yenda latin, maguba. Sanjiji song de rantop jisongba. Song yenda latin go, mate. Yenda to sanjiji song latin go, re.
Naso.
Hakosong.
Hakosong.
Sanju Samba the Yenda, the Sanjay is Kande song do tane, Tela ten de Hibare. Sanjay Jerantop, Jeranga load to Jitop, Jisumba de Mado, Peta Yenda Latin Mugubare, Gagin Yenda Latin Mugubare. Yeah. Tela Rantop Jisumba.
The next verses Rinpoche wants to explain to us teach of the qualities first of the Buddha's own speech and then of the Shastras. The commentaries on the Buddha's speech. So this, the first verse describing the Buddha's speech is the third from the bottom on page 75. And it says, whatever speech is meaningful and well connected with Dharma, which removes all afflictions of the three realms and shows the benefit of the attainment of peace, is the speech of the sage, while any different speech is other. So whatever speech is meaningful, meaning that what it's talking about is the truth of genuine reality. And because it is able to defeat all of the mental afflictions of all of the beings in the three realms, and teaches the benefit of the dissolving of that those mental afflictions. This is the speech of the great sage, the Buddha, and speech that does not have these qualities is something other than that. And the unique quality of the Buddha's speech is that the Buddha can just say it without having to make reference to anybody else's discourse or teaching. Whereas even the most other realized beings beneath the Buddha have to refer to what the Buddha said in order to give teachings. But the Buddha is an independent teacher. He can just teach from his own wisdom without having to rely on anybody else.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So let's recite that three times. Whatever speech is meaningful and well connected with Dharma, which removes all afflictions of the three realms and shows the benefit of the attainment of peace, is the speech of the sage, while any different speech is other. Whatever speech is meaningful and well connected with Dharma, which removes all afflictions of the three realms and shows the benefit of the attainment of peace, is the speech of the sage, while any different speech is other. Whatever speech is meaningful and well connected with Dharma, which removes all afflictions of the three realms and shows the benefit of the attainment of peace, is the speech of the sage, while any different speech is other. So if one asks, what are the defining characteristics of the Buddha's speech? First is that they teach the meaning of the Dharma. They are able to abandon all of the mental afflictions of the three realms. They teach the qualities of peace and the Buddha can give them in an independent way without having to rely on the words of anyone else.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So let's recite that. Whatever speech is meaningful and well connected with Dharma, which removes all afflictions of the three realms and shows the benefit of the attainment of peace, is a speech of the sage, while any different speech is other. Whatever speech is meaningful and well connected with Dharma, which removes all afflictions of the three realms and shows the benefit of the attainment of peace, is a speech of the sage, while any different speech is other. Whatever speech is meaningful and well connected with Dharma, which removes all afflictions of the three realms and shows the benefit of the attainment of peace, is the speech of the sage, while any different speech is other.
Deyan transong ka yin jevar lang, o te dekab su tenju jitini hebar. Lodu de tenba kaan ye, gyarba sanje re, gyarba zoba sanje je tenba chu je, chu mba ke ke wang du se ne, nam ying me pe yi jin, nam ying de nerwa ma yin ba, nam ying me pe yi jin se je te, cholan du chu jen je ting en zin to du nambar yin wa me ware, te vda wo. Namyung may be yijin de, namyung may be semji heba. Sanje ji song de da, namyung may be semji du de heba. Tarpa tope lan dan jisun tunba, tal lan dan jisun tunba. Dendrabu song ba, kepa tsu, kepa trup top ji song be tenju namjang. Deyang transong ka yin jebur lang, transong zobu sanje ji ka ngun mene yang, ka yin, ka dan tunbar. In a tenji zomba po sosu jibun cho to choba te cholan chenpo chujun chi tingin zilin ne gore. Ganga tenda wun yinpe chago ma re. Tenji zomba po ya hui di ya wa. Sosu jibu. Sochi yak.
Naso.
Tene bhagpa choro wa.
Naso. The next verse explains the qualities of the shastras, the commentaries on the Buddha's teachings. It says, whatever someone has explained with undistracted mind, exclusively in the light of the victor's teaching, and conducive to the path of attaining release, one should place on one's head as the words of the sage. Whatever someone has explained with undistracted mind, refers to the highest level of the first of the five paths, the path of accumulation. So when you reach that level, then you attain what is called the samadhi that is constant like the flow of a river, meaning your meditation never gets distracted. So the best kind of treatise written by an ordinary individual is the one written by someone who is on that level or higher. Doesn't necessarily mean that all treatises are going to be written by individuals who are like that, but the best ones will be. And it is written exclusively in the light of the victor's teaching, meaning that one relies only on the teachings of the Buddha and not some other tradition for what one is going to write about. If it's an authentic commentary. And if it is conducive to the path of attaining release or liberation, then if the commentary has these three qualities, one should place it on one's head as the words of the sage. So even though it isn't specifically or explicitly the words of the Buddha, one should venerate it and study it as if it were, if it has these qualities.
Yeah, that is awesome.
So let's recite that verse three times. Whatever someone has explained with undistracted mind, exclusively in the light of the victor's teaching, and conducive to the path of attaining release, one should place on one's head as the words of the sage. Whatever someone has explained with undistracted mind, exclusively in the light of the victor's teaching, and conducive to the path of attaining release, one should place on one's head as the words of the sage. Whatever someone has explained with undistracted mind, exclusively in the light of the victor's teaching, and conducive to the path of attaining release, one should place on one's head as the words of the sage. This has been a brief explanation of some important verses from the chapter on the benefits of the Buddha nature.
Tene joy lama le karche ki tangbo leba tangbo dere sanje kuncho chu kuncho genden kuncho somda khan debar ki kunying bo de dorji ne ye tembe se na leba tangbo de karche yur.
The most important chapter of this text is the first one. It teaches of the qualities of the precious jewel of the Buddha, the precious jewel of the Dharma, the precious jewel of the Sangha, and then teaches about the element of the Buddha nature, the enlightened essence. And so it is the most important. The second chapter is on enlightenment, the fifth Vajra point. And enlightenment, the word for it in Tibetan here is Jangchup. And Jang means to purify, to cleanse away the two obscurations that Rinpoche taught us about earlier. And Chup has the aspect of attaining all of the Buddha's qualities. So if we want to learn about what enlightenment is like, we should study that chapter. It is taught by means of many examples, which makes it more clear and helps us to gain certainty in it.
Re sanjog de mwiso megalan dun deri se tenya mebise na samudha thamo re tene pe mangbu sombare. Pe mangbu la tena tole lag.
Enlightenment is not something we can see or point out or measure in any way that we're used to. And that is why it is something that we can only sort of gain an understanding of through these different examples. It is so profound and subtle for that very fact that it's not an object of our sense experiences. So these examples help us to understand it better.
Tene tanda sanchok jele yenten jele bakapso ta sanje tele yenten kare yona sanna tene tamen ji yenten chukje tsabje sanje ji yenten sanje machap yin na yang tene tarban dreba ta memben dreba se tamen ji yenten chukje tsabje ten bare yenten chukje tsabje de ye bare kole la bare.
The third chapter is on the Buddha's qualities. So if we're wondering what qualities does the Buddha have, they are the 64 qualities of freedom and of full ripening. And they are divided into 64 different classifications, so we can learn about that in that chapter. The ultimate aspect of enlightenment, the Dharmakaya, has 32 qualities. And the relative aspect, the form dimension, what appears in as the Buddha's form, has 32 qualities, and that makes
64.
The qualities of the Dharmakaya are called the qualities of absence or freedom, because what you're free from are the two obscurations. The two obscurations have been vanquished, and the Dharmakaya manifests as a result. So it's just like if you have a piece of gold and you polish it and clean it so that all of the gunk is gone, and you just have the pure gold there, then you have the qualities of being free from any stain. And then the qualities of maturation refer to the qualities of the form bodies that come from accumulating merit. And it explains what are the particular causes that one accumulates while one is on the path that lead to the results that ripen, that mature at the time of the fruition. So by reading this chapter, we can see each of the causes of each of the particular 32 qualities of the Buddha's form bodies. And then we need to, once we've identified those causes, we can apply ourselves as best we can to practicing them.
Then this Sanje Lan Tsen Sum Chit Tsanye Bata Sanje Simba Kap So Tsen Zang Jyota So Su Nam Chit Tso Sa Kwal Tien Nita Bata.
So for example, the Buddha's body has 32 major attributes, and these each have a cause that the Buddha practiced while a bodhisattva.
Tene yun ten ten rao yun nan tene je kap so nam do me pa la sim chen je tong kante se zo gare tur pa kante se tur ve sa na tene tene je le bulo lo chung so.
The fourth chapter is on the Buddha's activity. Because then we might wonder, well, the Buddha has attained this enlightenment and has all these great qualities, so then what does the Buddha do? What is the Buddha's function? And that is explained in the chapter on activity, the fourth.
Dene namdo me la saba se chor, simjin ji don se chor, te to kale kapo yubase na, te de pe mangbo songbare.
And the way in which the Buddha, how it is precisely that the Buddha could be of such great benefit while never moving from a non-conceptual state of mind is inconceivable to us, and so many examples are given which help us to understand it. So we should read these root verses again and again, read the commentary, read specifically the commentary on the verses that we find difficult to understand. Some verses, their meaning will be obvious right away, but the verses that are difficult to understand, we need to concentrate on the commentary, and then the meaning will be more and more clear. For example, the descriptions of the Buddha's qualities are so extensive that they are not normally the topic of Dharma teachings because they are quite detailed and difficult to translate. But now they're in this book, and so we can read about them, and if we can read about them over and over, then we will understand them. Sometimes it's explained that no phenomenon exists at all. And other times it's explained that all of these perfect qualities are inherently present, spontaneously present. So if that seems to be a contradiction, then we need to read the verses that teach about how the second and the third turnings of the wheel of Dharma are not contradictory. If we look at this from the perspective of the teachings, the Buddha's teachings on the self, then in order to help people to get over their view of nihilism, then the Buddha taught that the self exists. He said, the self exists, the self lived in past lives, the self will have future lives, and therefore the virtuous actions you do matter, the non-virtuous actions you do matter, everything has a specific result.
Tene pumbo nga la dadu kembam, ludan sem la dadu kinde, jiktoka tava jipa kapso, tene dadang, da meba, kanzaka da meba, chuji da meba, tene da meba tembare, meba kibare, madrupa jumsin kibare, hirapti cheku kibare.
Then the next step was that the Buddha taught in order to help people get over thinking that the body was the self, thinking that the five skandhas are the self, the five aggregates. In order to help them stop thinking the self is real, the Buddha taught how to analyze and determine that the self, in fact, doesn't really exist.
Then the Dhammepa, the Tachyangmepa Rindu, this is the legend of the Javangabsayang Yusamare, the Cheta Chetabzuna, then the Mepa Leyang, then the Yumi Lendepa Sombare, then the Kap Sombare.
And then it was possible, again, for people to fall into nihilism by thinking, well, there's no self, so that means there's really no karma, there's no past life, there's no future life. And in order to help people get over that notion, then the Buddha taught that the nature of the self transcends both existence and non-existence.
Tendra Rambasom de Tene Chula Seruji Chuda Layan Jagore. yo para songpa me para songpa yemi len de para songpa.
This explanation with regard to the self we also have to apply to all phenomena and see that there are three stages of understanding them. First, the stage where the Buddha taught they exist. Second, that they don't exist. And finally, that their nature transcends both existence and
non-existence.
When we are receiving teachings on emptiness, then the point of emptiness is that whatever you analyze, you can't find it. But that might cause us to think that nothing exists at all, that there's that reality is absolute nothingness. And Chögme Rinpoche said, gave some pith instructions for what to do if when we're meditating on emptiness, we get the notion that there's just nothing. There's no past life, there's no future life, there's no karma, there's no virtue or non-virtue. Nothing matters at all in the world. It just doesn't matter. He said, if you get that type of thought, just take a pin or a needle and stick it in yourself. And then when you do, you'll get an experience of existence. And that will snap you out of nihilism. The way that Gendun Chöpel, who you've all probably heard of, who is one of the great modern scholars and masters, described it was, he said that after doing a lot of analysis, then you might think, oh, there's nothing. That might be the end result of analysis. But when you stick your hand with a needle, then that was the result of that is, oh, maybe there's something really there. So this is the way it is. What our experience gives us one answer, our analysis gives us another one. Similarly, we might analyze with our precise knowledge the nature of things and decide, well, there's no such thing as anything, so I don't need to eat. But then if we don't eat for a couple of days, then we get the big experience of hunger, and we can't last like that for very long. So this is how it is. When we analyze, we have the notion of non-existence. When we have experiences, they seem to confirm existence. In short, the explanation that is given in the second turning of the Wheel of Dharma, as exemplified in the Sherab Nyingbo, which you all recite, the Heart Sutra, says, keep saying, no, nothing, not. It's a refuting way of explaining things. There's no this, there's no that. And the explanation of this text on the Buddha nature is the opposite. It explains about what is and what exists. And we need both.
Tena kakhe toni la lobjong se cheta chetab zona, te joy lama lobjong yabu zoko.
So for those who have studied a lot about emptiness and think there's nothing, need to study the Gyu Lama.
Tena oku do. Tena deyan, pena joy lama le dekhi nyingbo sinjin le yoba, tama sangna sangchu toba, sangje tomna yundin sangji machaba yoba,
So first, this text talks about the enlightened essence that is the nature of all sentient beings, and then how it is if we realize that, we'll become enlightened, and if we get enlightened, all the great qualities of enlightenment, and then all of the activity that we can perform. The Buddhas perform. So all of that is from the perspective of things happening, things existing. It's from an affirming
perspective.
The Vajrayana meditative technique combines both existence and non-existence, because first you have the thoughts of there being some perceived objects and some perceiving subject, then you dissolve those into emptiness, that's like non-existence. Then you meditate on the deities and the mandala appearing from out of that emptiness, and that's a lot of existing things. And then you dissolve them again at the end, you're back into emptiness, non-existence. So that's very good because it alternates. So our minds are like little monkeys because wherever we block off for the mind, then the monkey mind goes the other way. So if we block this exit, then the monkey mind goes over here and starts thinking about this stuff. So then we have to block that one, and then he goes back that way. And so in that way, we have to refute all conceptual fabrications. And then the monkey...